Radio Prague News. The Czech police have stepped up their drive against illegal migration as the country prepares to join the Schengen zone. The cabinet has approved a new draft penal code which brings about tougher punishments for criminals, and those who abuse sick pay will face harsher punishments as of 2009. The Czech police have stepped up their drive against illegal migration as the country prepares to join the border-free Schengen zone at midnight on Thursday, said a police spokesperson. According to police data, some 4,500 illegal immigrants have been arrested since June, and more than 4,000 of them expelled. On Tuesday, Czech police launched a final operation before the country becomes part of the Schengen zone this week. The spokesperson said that the raids were a message to illegal immigrants that the opening of borders did not spell an end to police controls, but instead signified the very opposite. The Czech cabinet has approved a new draft penal code, which would bring about tougher punishments for criminals and lower the age of criminal responsibility from 15 to 14 years of age. The revised penal code would change substantially the classification of crimes, dividing them into two categories, depending upon their seriousness. Serious criminals would be punished more severely than at present, being handed sentences of up to 30 years imprisonment. And courts would be given the power to fast-track lesser offences and to hand out alternative punishments. If approved by Parliament and signed by the head of state, the new penal code could take effect as soon as January 2009. Those who abuse sick pay will face harsher punishments as of 2009, reported Hospodarské noviny on Wednesday. The Labour and Social Affairs Minister, Petr Nečas, is drafting a law which would allow employers to dismiss workers who, they could prove, had taken time off sick when they were not ill. As of 2009, it will no longer be the state which provides workers with the first 14 days' worth of sick pay. The task will fall to employers instead. For this reason, Mr. Nečas wants to give employers increased powers to combat any abuse of the system. Under the proposed legislation, workers found to be abusing sick pay could also face a fine of up to 20,000 crowns, or $1,000. Unions and the opposition Social Democrats have criticised the proposed reforms. Czech authorities have stopped extending the visas of North Korean labourers in conformity with UN sanctions against Pyongyang, meaning they should all have left the country by the end of the year, Czech officials said on Tuesday. Several hundred North Koreans have been working in various clothing and shoe factories in the Czech Republic since 2001. But the Interior Ministry said in a statement on Tuesday that their residency permits were no longer being renewed and that labourers had gradually left since the beginning of this year. None of the workers have applied for asylum in the Czech Republic, the ministry added. The UN placed sanctions on North Korea in 2006 when it carried out its first nuclear test. Just time for the weather. Expect more cold weather over the next couple of days. Temperatures should range between -2 and 2 degrees Celsius. There should be mostly clear skies overhead. I'm Rosie Johnston, and that's the end of the news.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio. I'm Rob Cameron. Coming up in today's programme, as Czechs brace for paying fees at their GPs, are the politicians wobbling on healthcare reform? We speak to the new education minister, Ondřej Liška, about his priorities for the troubled Czech school system. And we know the Czechs love their fairy tales, but will a plan by the town of Moravská Třebová to build a fairy tale amusement park be a success? With less than 2 weeks to go to the end of the year, doctors' offices are bursting at the seams. However, it's not a flu epidemic that's filling the waiting rooms. People are concerned about having to pay fees for healthcare as of January the 1st and are stocking up on medicines just as they would stock up on food ahead of an expected price hike. The rumblings of discontent over healthcare reform are growing and they're leading to a last-minute flurry of uncertainty among governing politicians. Daniela Lazarova has the details.
Of all the reforms implemented thus far, this is undoubtedly the most controversial. Direct payments for a visit to the doctor, for a prescription, or for time spent in hospital. The proposed change has come as a shock to a nation unused to paying for medical care. And many Czechs say it is simply unfair, since they're already paying medical insurance. The opposition Social Democrats support this view and have filed a complaint with a constitutional court on the grounds that payments for medical services are in violation of the law, which guarantees medical care for every citizen. They argue that many people, predominantly pensioners and the socially disadvantaged, will not be able to afford health care and have now tabled a proposal to scrap medical fees before they actually take effect. Former Social Democrat Health Minister David Rath urged the Civic Democrats to abide by their election promises.
I hope that something will jog the Civic Democrats' memory and remind them of their promise to voters not to introduce fees for medical services. The Prime Minister even signed a written pledge to that effect. They still have time to make good on that promise.
Čili vláda má šanci na reparát.
Some senators and a number of celebrities recently signed a petition urging Czechs to refuse payments. This led to a storm of controversy, with Health Minister Tomáš Julínek expressing outrage that lawmakers should urge Czechs to violate the law. He said Czechs who do not pay could find themselves on debtors' lists and would have trouble getting a loan. The Association of Patients promptly came up with a new form of protest, advising patients to pay in small denominations to make the doctor's job harder. The crowds of people in their waiting rooms are already doing a good job of that, and at least one hospital has said it would not collect money from underage children, considering it immoral. The storm of opposition to the changes has unsettled the Christian Democrats, one of the three governing parties, who never liked the idea of pensioners and children having to pay. They claim that the impact of the reform should be assessed in 6 months' time, and if necessary, the socially disadvantaged should be exempted from payments. The opposition Social Democrats have greeted this show of uncertainty with enthusiasm, the governing Civic Democrats with anger. But the health minister is standing firm, saying fees for medical services will be introduced since they're vital to better quality health care. People say they will wait to see that to believe it, and many of them are spending long hours in doctors' waiting rooms in order to save money on health care in the first quarter of 2008.
Daniela Lazarová with that report. Now, Andrej Liško was appointed the Czech Republic's Minister of Education 2 weeks ago, following the resignation of his Green Party colleague Dana Kuchtová, who'd failed to draw fully on all the available EU education funds. On his first day in the post, the new minister was greeted by striking teachers protesting in demand of higher funding. On Tuesday, Andrej Liško outlined his priorities to reporters, including Ian Willoughby, who asked him what changes he was planning at the Ministry of Education.
I wouldn't call it changes in the first row. I would call it steps that are necessary to be taken. First, my great task is to stabilize the leading body of the ministry, which already happened. I have invited respected personalities from the academic sphere into my closest team. And secondly, I feel it is necessary to finish the negotiations and preparations for the implementation of European funds. I believe this process has to be finished latest in March, April next year, so we can offer money that will bring quality to the Czech academic sphere.
Well, your Green Party predecessor and colleague, well, predecessor as minister, Dana Kuchtová, resigned after failing to properly and fully draw on the EU funds that were available. Are you confident you and your team can get your hands on all the money that's possible to get, so to speak?
I'm absolutely sure that we will manage. I have invited the best people I know in this area. Well, me myself, I have spent 3 years in the European Parliament as advisor for cohesion policy and European funds. So I have certain knowledge in this area, and I believe me and my team will definitely finalize the negotiations by the beginning of next year.
2 weeks ago, when you first came here as minister, you had a loud reception outside. There were people demonstrating, teachers demonstrating, calling for more funding. Do you think you can reach agreement with them?
Of course, it will be a matter of a compromise. I will not be a wizard that will bring suddenly a luggage full of $100 notes. I will be someone who already offered and will continue to lead a very serious and solid dialogue, not only with the teachers, but also with my political partners in the government and in the parliament, in order to enhance the chapter and financing of the education in the Czech Republic. I think it's our major task. Compared to other OECD countries, we spend like 4.5% for education, though other countries do 6%. And it's not only about the amount of money, but it's also about the quality that this money brings.
Finally, you're only 30, you're a very young Minister of Education. The President, Václav Klaus, expressed some reservations. What do you say to that idea, that you're perhaps a bit young to be in this post?
Some are too young, some are too old. I think I want to be measured not by my age, but by the concepts, by the steps I will take in this function. And this is the real measurement of how good or bad politician I am or will be. So, of course, my 30 years don't allow a major long-term experience in certain areas. But I think that good minister is not only he himself, but it's built up on a team of people he's surrounded with. And this is exactly what I have done in the first days of my role.
Education Minister Andrej Liska speaking there to Ian Willoughby about his priorities for the troubled education sector. The East Bohemian town of Moravská Třebová is situated in an attractive part of the country. Yet, unlike other towns in the region, it hasn't been much of a draw for tourists. But now this could be about to change, or at least that's what the local council hopes. They've unveiled an ambitious project, the Czech Republic's first real-life fairy tale kingdom. Rud Franková has more.
Kde pak ty ptáčky hnízdo máš, skrýš a zázemí?
Arabella, Rumburak, Cinderella or Snow White, these and other fairy tale figures are set to become new tourist attractions in Moravská Třebová. You may soon be able to meet them in person in the country's first ever fairy tale kingdom. Miroslav Netolický is one of the people behind the idea.
We have elaborated together with a specialized company a strategy of development of tourism here in the city and the wider region. And we found out that our destination is not something like top destination, but thanks to the neighborhoods of other successful cities like Litomyšl with its castle on the UNESCO list, we decided also to have some piece of cake.
To become a top tourist destination, the councillors of Moravská Třebová decided to adopt a more interactive approach and get rid of old-fashioned museums and galleries. The new strategy seems to be bearing fruit already.
The important part of the city, which is about 12,000 inhabitants at present, is the Renaissance Chateau, which was completely renovated last year. We decided here in the town hall that when the renovation has been already done, we should connect this fact with a newly opened exhibition, the Torture Chamber, which was a big success for last season, and we rised from 2,000 visitors to 15,000 during 1 year. For the next year, we would like to introduce a new exposition, something like Alchemistic Laboratory, which will be very interactive. So we plan to make the castle really center of tourism here in the city and to get over 30,000 visitors next year.
The romantic fairy tale looking castle has also inspired the councillors to build a Pohádková říše, or fairy tale kingdom.
We found out that there is some cultural and historical potential for the development of tourism, but not enough entertainment. We decided to create something special which cannot be found in the Czech Republic now, the project of Pohádková říše, fairy tale land. The main point will be the fairy tale garden with statues of well-known and famous characters from the fairy tales like Snow White and Seven Dwarfs or Cinderella, and also from the new fairy tales like Harry Potter and so on. Next part will be Museum of Czech Fairy Tales and Films. Also, there'll be a zone of services like shops and information center.
The councillors of Moravská Třebová have already taken the first steps towards carrying out their ambitious plan. However, it won't be completed before 2010.
And stay tuned to Radio Prague to see if they all live happily ever after. Ruth Franková reporting there. Now, another chance to hear Colleen O'Connor's profile of footballing legend Antonín Panenka in this week's Czechs Today.
En nu krijgen we de aanloop van Panenka. Meijer op de lijn. Panenka, zachtjes na. Ja, scoort! Ik dacht dat hij naast schoot, maar hij scoorde. Heel zachtjes, heel gedurfd. Panenka.
Belgrade, the 20th of June, 1976. And Antonín Panenka scores the winning goal for Czechoslovakia in a penalty shootout after the final of the European Cup of Nations against Germany ended in a draw. This goal was undoubtedly one of the greatest moments in Czech sporting history, and it made Panenka a household name. This skillful attacking midfielder is still remembered today for the cheeky manner in which he took the crucial penalty, calmly waiting for the German goalkeeper to dive before gently slotting the ball in the centre of the goal. Nobody had ever seen a penalty like it before, and its impudence drew lots of comment in press reports all around the world. One French journalist even went so far as to describe Panenka as a poet for the sheer style in which he took the kick. Antonín Panenka himself says that he came up with the idea on the training ground of the Prague club Bohemians, where he plied his trade for many years.
Do té doby to nikdo takhle nikdy nekop. Já jsem si tuhle tu penaltu v podstatě vymyslel tím, že jsem tady po každém tréninku na Bohemce.
Nobody had ever taken a penalty like that before. I came up with the idea because I used to practice penalties after training at Bohemians with our goalkeeper Zdeněk Hruška. To make it interesting, we used to wager a beer or a bar of chocolate on each penalty. Unfortunately, because he was such a good keeper, I ended up losing money, as he kept saving more shots than I could score. As a result, I ended up lying awake at night, thinking about how I could get the upper hand.
No, tak se ve mně zrodila taková ta myšlenka, že ten brankář prostě čeká do posledního okamžiku a pak se snaží prostě vystihnout tam, kam to kopu. Tak já jsem zatím na tom přemýšlel.
I eventually realized that the goalkeeper always waits until just before the last moment to try and anticipate where the ball is going, and dives just before it's kicked, so he can reach the shot in time. I decided that it was probably easier to score by feinting to shoot, and then just gently tapping the ball into the middle of the goal. In this way, the keeper had always dived by the time the ball was kicked, and had no chance of recovering in time to save the shot. I tried it out on the training ground, and it worked like a charm. The only problem was that I started getting a lot fatter because I won back all those beers and chocolates.
To začal zkoušet v tom tréninku a to mělo nevýhodu v tom, že jsem začal tlousnout, protože jsem ty piva a ty čokolády vyhrával zpátky, že jo.
It's one thing to take a penalty like Panenka did on the training ground. It's quite another to take a penalty like that when it's the deciding strike in the final of a major tournament. Even to this day, many football commentators are amazed at how Panenka managed to hold his nerve to take a shot like that, especially as he would have looked extremely silly had the keeper not dived. The player himself says he never had any doubt that he would score.
Takže já jsem to v podstatě dva roky před mistrovstvím Evropy jsem začal používat, zkoušet. Samozřejmě pak jsem to zkusil přátelských utkání.
About 2 years before the European Championships, I began trying it. At first I did it during friendly matches and then did it once or twice during Czechoslovak league games. It worked so well that I decided I would use the technique if I got a penalty at the European Championships. Of course, it was pure chance that the opportunity came in the final, after the Germans equalized in the last minute, and then when it went to penalties, the German player missed his kick before it was my turn. It was like the will of God. I was 1,000% certain that I would take the penalty in that way and that I would score.
deux pas au maximum, trois peut-être. C'est parti, la Panenka. Est-ce qu'elle est dedans? Elle est pas dedans.
French midfielder Zinedine Zidane scores a penalty similar to Panenka's in last year's World Cup final. A strike which is listed several times on video sites like YouTube as La Panenka de Zidane. The Panenka is now part of any serious penalty taker's repertoire of kicks, and the Czech footballer's strike has been copied by other top players like Italy's Francesco Totti and Portugal's Helder Postiga. So how does he feel about this kick being his major legacy in football?
Už několikrát jsem viděl, že to některý hráč v televizi nebo v nějakém záběru dál. Každý reportér v každé zemi prostě nezapomněl říct, že...
Several times I've seen a player take a penalty like that on television, and every commentator in every country never fails to describe it as a Panenka penalty, which is naturally very gratifying. I also remember that the greatest player ever, Pelé, said at the time that anyone who took a penalty like that must be either a genius or a madman. I certainly hope I'm not a madman, so I assume what he said about me was okay.
Many people who saw Panenka play week in, week out for Bohemians when he was in his prime claimed that he was indeed a footballing genius, who was renowned in this country for the quality of his passing and his free kicks. Unfortunately, he is perhaps only really remembered around the world today for his penalty, because the restrictions of the communist era meant he never got a chance to regularly parade his skills on a bigger stage. The strict transfer system for football in communist Czechoslovakia meant that he was never permitted to play for one of the top Czechoslovak teams of the 1970s, like Dukla Prague or Sparta Prague, who regularly featured in Europe's top club competitions. Instead, Panenka spent his best years as a footballer at Bohemians, whom he had signed for as a child and who insisted on retaining his services for 23 years before eventually allowing him to move to Rapid Vienna when he was 32 years of age. Although Bohemians never challenged for major honours while Panenka was at the club, he is not bitter about the lack of medals and trophies in his locker and insists that he has more important criteria for gauging how successful his career was.
Moje kredo, moje myšlenka vždycky byla pobavit diváka. Pobavit sám sebe, aby jsem já měl z toho fotbalu.
My credo and belief has always been to entertain the spectators. First of all, I had to enjoy myself and like the football that I was playing. But I also wanted to give fans who are working all week something that would please them when they come to watch a game on Sunday, which they would talk about all day in the pubs afterwards. I always tried to provide this for the spectators, and I firmly hope and believe that I didn't fail in this respect, because I always had a very warm relationship with the fans, both at Bohemians and in Austria, where I was very popular. I think even fans of other clubs like Sparta and Slavia liked coming to watch me play. For me, that was the greatest triumph of my career.
Spartani slávisti prostě se třeba na mě chodí rádi dívat a to je pro mě největší vítězství.
Although proud of his positive relationship with the football fans who watched him at Bohemians and Rapid Vienna, Panenka says another satisfying aspect of his career is the fact that he also managed to win the respect of his peers.
Já jsem byl několikrát nominovaný do různých výběrů Evropy a světa. A to je pro mě skutečně vynikající.
I was picked several times for various world or European 11s, and that was a huge honor for me. It was great that a not so well-known player like me from Czechoslovakia could suddenly find himself sharing a dressing room with the likes of Bobby Charlton, Eusebio, Beckenbauer, Blokhin and Cruyff. It was one of the high points of my career that I could play with players of that caliber and that they treated me as their equal.
Takže tyhle ty zážitky z těch utkání, prostě to já hodnotím strašně vysoko ve své kariéře.
Antonín Panenka actually became one of the first Czechoslovak players to ply his trade abroad, when he was allowed to leave the country at 32 years of age to play for Rapid Vienna in the more relaxed era of the 1980s. Although he received offers at the time from clubs in Spain and from other big leagues, Panenka says his relatively advanced age meant that Rapid Vienna were a natural choice.
Já musím říct, že jsem udělal správný krok. Samozřejmě bych asi ve Španělsku nebo v jiných zemích.
I think I made the right decision. Naturally, I probably would have made a lot more money in Spain or in other countries. But then again, I was very satisfied in Austria. I have very fond memories of my time there. We enjoyed success in sporting terms,
But what was the most important thing for me is that the Austrian fans took me to their hearts. From that point of view, I would see my time there as very successful.
Antonín Panenka actually won two league titles, as well as an Austrian Cup with Rapid Vienna. And he also made an appearance in the 1985 European Cup Winners' Cup final against Everton. It was a fitting coda to the career of an extremely talented footballer, who, if he'd been born 20 years later, would probably have made millions and won a hatful of medals at a top European club. After retiring from football at the age of 38 in 1987, Antonín Panenka has since worked as a coach and a television pundit. He is currently president of Bohemians Football Club and still has a very warm relationship with the team's fans, who simply refer to him affectionately as Tonda. Although Panenka's affection for Bohemians is obvious, he admits that he would have liked the chance to prove himself at a major football club like Manchester United or Real Madrid, had the opportunity arisen when he was in his prime. Nevertheless, all things considered, he says he has no real regrets about his playing career.
I can't say I have any disappointments. I've lived a very beautiful life and travelled the entire world. The most beautiful thing about my life and career is that my hobby became my job. The fact that I was able to make a living doing what I loved doing is fantastic. Not many people manage that.
Football legend Antonín Panenka ending that edition of Czechs Today by Colleen O'Connor. That's all we have time for you today. From me, Rob Cameron, and everyone here at Radio Prague, goodbye.